Chapter 12.
Arulani had seldom known General Bakif to be angry. At least, she'd seldom known him to be angry with her. He was more than making up for it now.
"What in hell's name were you thinking?"
he snapped, glaring as if he was trying to melt her into slag by eye flame and willpower alone.
"Allowing a Skywalker to be separated from her caregiver is bad enough. Actually engineering that separation takes matters to an entirely new level of illegality."
"Never mind that,"
Syndic Sistalmu ground out, doing his best to aid in Bakif's fire-starting efforts. In contrast with the general, Arulani was quite familiar with Sistalmu's anger.
"Those are minor military matters, and they're not why Syndic Thurfian and I are here. What we want to know is how you could let Senior Captain Thrawn insert himself again into Garwian politics."
"Indeed,"
Thurfian seconded. Unlike the heat radiating from Arulani's other two interrogators, his tone and face were the frozen shell of Chila.
"Do the aristocrats somehow fail to make ourselves clear?"
"Captain Thrawn wasn't inserting himself into politics," Arulani said, keeping her voice even. She'd never found much credence in the old saying that soft words eroded hard ones, but she certainly didn't want to make Bakif and Sistalmu any angrier than they already were. Especially with Sistalmu a nanosecond away from demanding that the entire Syndicure convene to consider charges against her. Unlike her first officer, Arulani didn't have a conduit into the sort of family intrigues that could provide her with a counterattack or an exit strategy.
"Really?"
Sistalmu said, his voice heavy with sarcasm.
"He travels aboard a Garwian diplomatic ship in the company of a Garwian envoy to a world we ourselves have no political ties to, and that has nothing to do with politics? Have the Garwians converted their diplomatic corps into a knitting club?"
"The mission was one of reconnaissance," Arulani said. "Captain Thrawn is trying to determine where else the Nicardun may have established themselves."
"Have these Nicardun attacked the Ascendancy?"
Thurfian interrupted.
"Have they shown any indication that they might attack the Ascendancy?"
"They destroyed a refugee ship within one of our systems."
"So you claim,"
Sistalmu said.
"The Syndicure has yet to see solid evidence that the Nicardun are the ones responsible."
"All of which is irrelevant anyway,"
Thurfian said.
"If there's neither attack nor imminent attack, it's not a military matter. But as Syndic Sistalmu has already stated, a political one."
He turned his glare onto Bakif.
"Unless you're prepared to claim that General Bakif personally authorized this mission."
"Not at all,"
Arulani said quickly. This tactic, at least, she knew. Sistalmu was throwing his net wide in the hope of sweeping in as many people as he could. She and Thrawn were already tangled in the mesh, and she had no intention of letting Bakif be drawn in alongside them.
"But as I'm sure you're aware, Syndic, situations sometimes arise where events proceed too quickly for consultation with superiors."
"An interesting assertion,"
Thurfian said, the temperature in his voice dropping a few more degrees.
"Tell me, has Solitaire then lost every one of its triads? Has the Ascendancy lost every one of its triads? A ship in deep space may have only one-way communication, but once Thrawn landed on Solitaire, that excuse disappeared. If he didn't report to Chila or Naparar and ask for orders, it was because he chose not to."
"Or because the Garwians chose not to let him,"
Bakif said. He was still angry, Arulani could tell, but he could see the two Syndics edging their way into military affairs, and he clearly had no intention of ceding any of that territory.
"The Syndicure is right to question Captain Thrawn's decisions."
"To question them?"
Sistalmu bit out.
But that discussion can wait until he's returned and able to properly defend himself.
Bakeev continued.
The immediate issue at hand is how to extract him safely from his reconnaissance.
Why should we?
Zistalmo demanded.
His activities are completely unauthorized. He got himself into this. He can get himself out.
Are you sure that's what you want, Syndic?
Bakeev asked.
Why not?
Because it's Thrawn we're talking about,
Thurfian said sourly.
The General is suggesting there may be worse political and diplomatic consequences if we let him have his way than if we just go in and pluck him out.
Well, at least he'll no longer be an embarrassment to us,
Zistalmo grumbled.
Don't be so sure,
Thurfian said, his gaze shifting to Arulani.
How exactly would you do it, Admiral?
Straightforwardly, Arulani said. I take the Vigilant to the Primea system, contact them, and arrange to pick him up. If I leave immediately, I should be within the time frame he specified.
And if they refuse to give him up?
Why would they? Bakeev asked. We have no quarrel with the Vax.
Arulani kept her expression steady. That was true, unless the Vax were already under Nikhardun control. In that case, the simple pickup mission she was pitching could get very ugly very fast.
Doesn't mean they won't have a quarrel with us,
Zistalmo said.
Particularly if they see Thrawn as a spy. But never mind them. What if these Nikhardun of yours have taken over?
We've already seen they aren't yet ready to engage the Ascendancy, Arulani reminded him.
Thurfian snorted.
No need to engage us when they can simply vaporize the Garwian ship with Thrawn aboard and claim it was an accident.
All the more reason for the Vigilant to get there before it happens,
Bakeev said grimly.
If you'll excuse us, we need to get this mission underway.
Of course,
Thurfian said.
Just as soon as we resolve the issue of the Vigilant Skywalker.
Arulani grimaced. She'd hoped they'd forgotten about that.
I promised Ciri's caregiver I'd take care of her, she said. I see no reason why I can't continue to do that.
You don't?
Thurfian asked.
The Admiral and Commander of a Night Dragon Man of War, and you think you'll have time to cater to the needs of a child, too?
He shook his head.
No. We need to find a new caregiver before you can leave Chila.
I'm afraid that won't be possible,
Bakeev said.
All Skywalkers and caregivers are already committed to other ships.
Let me propose a solution,
Zistalmo offered.
My wife served as a caregiver for 2 years before we were married. Her record of that time is very clean. Reinstate her, and she and I can travel aboard the Vigilant together.
Thalias chose me, Arulani said firmly. As Ciri's official caregiver, she has final authority to shift that duty while she's aboard my ship.
But she's not aboard your ship now, is she?
Zistalmo countered.
She was when she named me as her replacement, Arulani said. I have no intention of giving up that mandate, and you have no authority to take it from me.
I have every authority!
Enough!
Bakeev cut in.
Syndic Zistalmo, how far away is your wife?
She can be here in 2 hours.
Call her now,
Bakeev ordered.
Admiral, I agree that regulations support your position. But Syndic Thurfian is right to remind us of your other responsibilities. I'm therefore ruling that Syndic Zistalmu's wife will share caregiver duty with you, and will take the primary position whenever you're otherwise occupied. Any questions?
Arulani suppressed a scowl. The last thing she wanted was a strange woman suddenly entering Ciri's life. The girl had enough problems socializing with other people as it was, without disrupting things further. And she absolutely didn't want a syndic on her bridge, watching her every movement, and undoubtedly gathering ammunition to be used against her somewhere down the line. Couldn't Bakif see this was yet another attempt by the Syndicure to intrude on the fleet's sphere of authority?
No questions, General, she said stiffly.
Good,
Bakif said.
Thank you for your interest and input, Syndics. Syndic Sistalmu, you and your wife will report to Admiral Orellani's shuttle in 3 hours for immediate transport to the Vigilant. Admiral, another moment of your time?
Orellani stayed where she was, her eyes locked on Bakif as Sistalmu and Thurfian walked through the doorway behind her. She waited until the door closed.
Don't say it,
Bakif warned before she could speak.
No, it's not ideal. In fact, it's about as far from ideal as it could possibly be.
Then why did you agree to it?
Because I didn't have any choice, Bakif said. Because if I'd tried to keep Sistalmu off the Vigilant, he'd have tied us up in procedural twist wire until Thrawn died of old age.
He paused.
And because you don't have a mandate. Because Thalias is not, in fact, an official caregiver.
Orellani felt her eyes narrow.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that she sweet-talked her way aboard the Springhawk, Bakif said. She's a former Skywalker herself, which made the sweet-talking a little easier. But the fact is that she has no official credentials.
But she's Smith,
Orellani said, trying to sort it through.
Are you telling me that someone with Thurfian's connections and suspicions hasn't figured that out?
On the contrary,
Bakif said darkly.
He apparently showed up at the last minute to help get her aboard in that position.
Really?
Orellani said.
What was the cost of that assistance?
I don't know,
Bakif said.
But there was a cost. Or will be somewhere down the line. With Thurfian, that's practically guaranteed. My point is that all he had to do was throw that into the conversation, and you'd have been out completely. But he didn't. The question is why.
Possibly because he'd prefer having me involved with our Skywalker over turning her completely over to the wife of an Irisi syndic.
Normally, I'd agree with you, Bakif said. But you've surely noticed that despite their family's rivalries, he and Sistalmu have shown remarkable unity in their attempts to get Thrawn out of the fleet. Or at least out of any position of influence. I don't think he'd have a problem with Zistalmu's wife being in complete charge.
And of course leaving Thrawn abandoned on Primea would be a permanent solution to their perceived problem.
Exactly,
Bakif said.
No. I think he didn't denounce you because that would also have gotten Thalias thrown off the Springhawk when she returns. And there's something he still wants her to do. Probably something connected to the price of getting her aboard in the first place.
He waved a hand in dismissal.
But that can wait. Right now, we need to get Thrawn off Primea before the situation becomes too much to handle.
I wouldn't worry about Thrawn, sir, Orellani said. He's expecting me, of course, but if I don't show, I'm sure he'll find his own way home.
Thrawn's not the one I was worried about,
Bakif said tartly.
It's the Ascendancy that may wind up in a situation we can't get out of.
Point taken, sir,
Orellani said, wincing.
I've got Wutro'o working on a flight prep. We'll be ready to go by the time Sistalmu and his wife arrive.
Good,
Bakif said.
And watch him, Orellani. Watch him very closely. I know Sistalmu. He wouldn't voluntarily walk into possible danger unless he thought there was a way to turn that to his and his family's advantage.
Don't worry, sir, Orellani assured him. whatever game he's playing, I think he'll find that his cards aren't nearly as good as he thinks they are.
There was a right way to do things, Kilori fumed to himself as he hurried toward the bridge. And there was a wrong way. In this case, the right way was to keep on schedule. Do a proper ship prep, and ensure that the captain, the crew, and especially the navigator were moving along at a steady but relaxed pace. The wrong way was exactly the opposite of all those. That wrong way was what was happening right now.
"Pathfinder!"
someone called from down the corridor in front of him.
"Pathfinder!"
"I'm coming!"
Kilori called back, cursing under his breath. Yiv's whole plan to eliminate Thrawn hinged on the Garwian ship being exactly where it was supposed to be when it was supposed to be there. Kilori's job was to make that happen from the Garwian end of the ambush. But even he wasn't good enough to stall an entire day just because the Garwian envoy had suddenly decided to cut short the negotiations and head home early. Now what was he supposed to do? The bridge was the typical scene of chaos when he arrived. The captain was barking orders. The officers and crew were scrambling to get their boards up and running. Off in one corner, Kilori felt his winglets flatten as he headed for the navigator's seat. Off in the corner, the Garwian he'd heard the others refer to only as Officer Frangelic stood silently, watching the commotion like a director overseeing a stage performance.
"There you are,"
the captain growled as Kilori settled himself into his seat.
"How soon can you be ready?"
Kilori glanced at the status boards. They were still deep within Primea's gravity well. Several minutes at least to get far enough out that they could access hyperspace. More like a quarter hour if they made a more leisurely departure. If he insisted on an additional status check of the hyperdrive, the engines, and the environmental systems before they left, it would buy him a little more time. His winglets stiffened in frustration. A little more time, but not nearly enough. If Yiv hadn't spotted the prep work, the Benevolent would have lost all chance to capture or kill Thrawn, which was undoubtedly the whole point of the sudden change in schedule. Thrawn, the envoy, Frangelic, maybe all three together, had decided to sneak Thrawn away from Primea before the Benevolent could launch his attack. And then, a movement on the aft display caught Kilori's eye. Yiv's flagship, the Deathless, had appeared over the horizon behind them, running a lower orbit and casually gaining on the Garwian ship. Oh, he felt his winglets relax fractionally. So Yiv hadn't been caught napping after all. Perfect. Now Kilori could let the Garwians move out of the gravity well on their own schedule, then make sure he didn't take them into hyperspace until Yiv made his move.
"Officer Frangelic,"
the Garwian at the communication station called.
"The Vax sent an answer to your query. They've done a complete search of the diplomatic offices and guest quarters, and neither Artistic Master Sforno nor his companion are anywhere to be found."
"Tell them they must be mistaken,"
Frangelic said tersely.
"If they're not here, they have to be there."
Kilori's winglets froze in place. Thrawn wasn't aboard? No, that couldn't be. He had to be here. If he wasn't, then Yiv was about to attack a Garwian ship and almost certainly kill everyone aboard for nothing.
"The Vax are very insistent,"
the comm officer said.
"They've searched everywhere the Chiss might be. There's no sign or trail of them."
Kilori stared at the display and the Nicardoon battle dreadnought coming steadily up into attack range. He needed to get word to Yiv, and he needed to do it fast. Only he couldn't. With this many Garwians milling around, there was no way he could get to any of the comm panels without being seen. But without comm access, he couldn't talk to the Deathless. Or rather, he couldn't talk to the Deathless.
Officer Frangelic!
He called, turning toward the officer.
Excuse me, but I remember Autistic Master Sforno talking at length with General Yiv the Benevolent at the reception our first night on Primea. I believe that among other things they discussed Vac art and art displays. Perhaps the Benevolent will have some idea where he might have gone.
Perhaps, Frangelic said. Come, you heard?
Yes, Officer Frangelic.
Signal to General Yiv,
Frangelic ordered.
Put the question to him.
Kilori took a deep breath, his winglets finally relaxing. Thrawn might have slipped out of Yiv's immediate trap, but all he'd really done was postpone his fate. Even though the Vax weren't yet under full Nicardoon domination, Yiv had enough forces in the region to quickly isolate Primea and keep the fugitives on the ground. Sooner or later, either he or the Vax would run them down. And really, how long could a pair of blueskins hide among a planet full of aliens?